I've heard of going hunting without having your gun loaded, but I've never heard of going hunting without having your gun, period. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Our text begins with an all-important statement. And if you believe this statement, you'll believe everything there is to know about how this world was created. You'll believe everything there is to know about all things that come to pass in this world. And you'll believe everything there is to know about salvation. You can believe this one statement. And here's the statement, 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God. All things are of God. Now, I try to take two or three verses at a time when I'm preaching through the Bible. Sometimes we come to a verse or a statement that's so broad and so all-encompassing that you just have to stop and take that phrase. And that's what we're going to do here with this phrase. I want to just consider this one statement, all things are of God. Now, when the Scripture says all things are of God, you know what it means? It means all things. All things. First, all things in the creation of this world and everything created in this world is of God. The Scripture tells us by Him were all things created. And then secondly, all things that have come to pass in the past and all things that shall come to pass in the future are of God. That's called providence. God's providence. And when it comes to providence, all things are of God. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And then thirdly, and this is the context of the passage, is declaring that all things in salvation are of God. Jonah said, I'll sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. All things in salvation are of God. Now, first of all things in creation are of God. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Now, I want you to see that it's not just to make the statement that everything in creation is of God, but it's to glorify Christ. That's why everything is of God, is to glorify Christ. Everything we're talking about here in creation, providence, and salvation is to glorify Christ. That's why all things are of God. Now look here, Colossians 1:16. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus, and it says, by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He's the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. That's why God gave Him the responsibility, His Son, the responsibility to create this world and all things in it, was to glorify Christ. Look over at Isaiah 44:24. Don't you see who's speaking here? Isaiah 44:24. Watch this now. Thus saith the Lord. That's Jehovah. Who is He? Who's Jehovah? Thy Redeemer. Thy Redeemer. He that formed thee from the womb. You see, the Lord Jehovah is Jehovah Jesus. That's who He is. He's the Redeemer. God in human flesh, the Redeemer. And He's saying here, this is to you who He's redeemed. This is you that He's formed by His sovereign grace. This is the word of Jehovah Jesus for the comfort of his people. And look what he said. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Now, hold your place here in Isaiah. We'll come back to this place right here. But I want you to understand that even in the creation of the world, God the Father entrusted creation to Christ his Son in order to glorify Christ, who is the creator of his people in salvation. That's why he entrusted it to him. He entrusted to Christ to create the first world, because it's Christ who's going to create the new heavens and the new earth. And so he's showing you who it is that does the creating. It's Christ, his Son. God entrusted the work of creation to Christ and to him alone in order to show us that salvation is by Christ and him alone. We weren't there. We didn't help him with the first creation. We're not going to help him with this new creation either. It's all of Christ. He creates his people anew in righteousness. He had no help from man in any aspect of creation. He said, I am the Lord that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and I spread abroad the earth by myself. That's to show that he has no help in saving us, in the new creation. Just that, like he had no help in the first creation, he has no help in the new creation. And also in the things created, Colossians 1 said, all things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist, so that in all things he has a preeminence. So that means that Christ created this earth so that everything he created glorifies him. You think about this. He created this earth. We live on a round ball that he created. Scripture says he sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. We live on a round earth that he made to circle around the sun. Everything revolves around the sun, the S-U-N. Because everything revolves around the S-O-N. That's why he made it that way. So when we see our solar system revolving around the S-U-N, we can remember everything was created to revolve around the S-O-N, around the sun. Turn over to Malachi 4. I want you to see this. Right now, everybody's so worried. All these folks are worried that about global warming. Well, who's ruling that? Who's ruling the warmth of this globe? Christ is. And why is the sun, if the sun gets a little closer, we're going to just be like a bunch of, we're going to just fry. And it's going to get very warm in the end when he burns everything up. But why has he got everybody frightened about that? Because it's to show us that we ought to be more afraid and more fearful of the S-O-N. Look here at Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly. See, this is a matter of righteousness. We're talking about those outside of Christ. All the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. Saith the Lord that controls everything that's ever been made. That it shall leave them neither root nor branch. So you got men that's worried about the S-U-N. But you got some men that aren't worried about the S-U-N, because that same S-U-N comes up every morning in the east, and its wings, its beams, shine forth and warm us and give us comfort. And that's to show that that same S-O-N that's going to burn up men one day when they stand in judgment arises with healing for us. Look at Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stone. You see that? The same S-U-N that Christ made, that some people's words are going to burn the globe up. Others of us enjoy it and rejoice in it because we know who controls that S-U-N. But that's all to picture the fact that one day men are going to stand before the S-O-N, and he's going to burn them up. But you and I are going to arise with him, with healing, and be complete in him, the same Son. And then all things in creation glorify Christ who made it, either in justice or in grace. That's why he made it. He said, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. He's going to glorify his justice with the wicked. Now, so you see, this is why the devil would love for everybody to believe that this world just evolved. Why? Because everything that was created by Christ, for Christ, to glorify Christ. And if you believe in creation and you behold that, then you'll glorify Christ. And that's the last thing the devil wants. So he'd rather have you believe this whole thing just blew up out of nothing and just evolved out of nothing. You know, no matter how long something takes to evolve, eventually it's going to turn into something, right? If a fish is going to turn into a man, eventually you're going to see it finish its cycle and it's become a man. Well, it takes 9 months for a baby to be born, but babies are born every second of every day. So shouldn't we be seeing things turn into men every second of every day if they're evolving? Sure we should. They should be coming to the end of their term every second of every day, just like women do. But you don't see that, do you? Because it's a bunch of bull, that's why. It's not true. Christ created it to glorify Christ. Everything in creation is to glorify Him. And if you see Him, that's why Scripture says when you see Christ, that's He says, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you with singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Because you'll start seeing everything that was made to glorify Christ. All those illustrations He used, He made them to glorify Him, so He could use them as illustrations of Him, those earthly illustrations. He made them for that purpose. So, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, secondly, all things that have come to pass in history from the beginning and all things that shall come to pass in the future until the end are all of God. All providences of God. Go to Romans 11:36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Everything that comes to pass in time is God working what He eternally purposed when there was no world. Everything, every day that comes to pass is God working what He purposed before the world was ever made. That's what providence is. And God is bringing everything to pass, just like it, good and bad. Let me give you an example. God created Satan as an angel. And the Scripture says God permitted him to rebel against God, and God cast him out in a third of the heavenly host. He cast out into the earth. Well, why did He do that? He did it so that after He had created Adam and after He had created Eve, He would permit Satan to enter into the garden and beguile Eve so that Adam would take that forbidden fruit and would die and plunge the whole world into sin and death. Well, why would He do that? So that in time He could send forth the second Adam, Christ the Lord, and show forth His glory and His righteousness in saving His people from our sin. All of that was of God. God wasn't the author of the sin. Satan was. And man was. God simply permitted Satan to do what he would. And He permitted man to do what he would. But it all fulfilled the purpose of God. So everything that's coming to pass since then has been the exact same way. Doing the exact same thing. It's so that God might manifest His glory. He said in Isaiah 45:7, I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. All things are of God. Now, be sure to understand, there's no one and there's no thing that God is not all-powerful over. If there was anything that had more power than God, that thing would be God. That's what makes God, God, is He's all-powerful over all. And a God that's not all-powerful is not a God you can worship, because He's not sovereign. You can't worship any God but a sovereign God. Truly worship, bow down and depend upon and cast yourself upon His mercy. You can only do that to a sovereign God who's all sovereign. God protects sparrows in this life. Little sparrows. You see a little sparrow. God protects them. Why? Go to Matthew 10. Why does He protect a little sparrow in this world? Matthew 10:29. Does he rule the sparrows just for the sake of the sparrows? Just like He created everything to glorify Him, He rules everything to glorify Christ too. Look at what Christ said right here. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? That means they're just not worth anything. Sold for a penny. Two for a penny. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Why? It's to teach every believer that God's protecting you and providing for you in all providence as He is in all salvation. Look at the next verse. That's exactly what He said. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. He's saying, just like I protect the sparrows, I'm going to protect my people. So you have nothing to worry about. Whatever's coming to pass in providence is coming to pass for you who believe. It's coming to pass for His people. God overrules all liars and all false teachers. And all self-ascribed wise men. You know why? To teach His people the difference between a truth and a lie. He said in Isaiah 44:25, if you want to go back there, He said, I'm the Lord. Look at verse 25. I'm the Lord that frustrateth the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. And who does He do that before? Who does he make their knowledge to be foolish unto? His people. He teaches us the truth, and so you know the truth from a lie. And He does it to show you that it's not possible that any one of His elect shall ever be deceived. That's not possible. So we don't have to worry about the liars and the false preachers and people. Men are trying to use cunning to create a following or whatever. God's going to turn them on the head. And He's going to do it in front of His people to show His people this is why you don't follow them. He's going to do that. You don't have to worry about that. God is sovereign in providence over men for the direct preservation and protection of His people. He said in 1 Chronicles 16:31, let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. We don't have to worry about anything. Whatever's going to happen with North Korea and America, which I don't think anything's going to happen, but whatever happens, God will bring it to pass, and God will bring it to pass for His people, and it'll be right, and it'll be for our good, and it'll be for His glory. You can just bank on that. That's so with everything. Everything in providence is of God. Now lastly, let's go to this. This is the most important. All things are of God in salvation. Now go back there to Isaiah 44:26. Now watch this. Isaiah 44:26. And here's why He said all that that He said before. He says here, I'm the Lord that confirmeth the word of His servant and performeth the counsel of His messengers. Now you hear that? I'm here today as the servant of the Lord preaching the gospel to you. And He says, I'm the one that's going to confirm the word of my servant. And not only that, I'm here telling you about the counsel of God. I'm here to tell you what Christ did, what he accomplished. And he said, I'm the one that performs that counsel. I'm going to confirm the word that my preacher preaches, and I'm going to perform the counsel that he's preaching. I'm going to do the work that he declared. So in the context, next time we come to 2 Corinthians 5, go back there with me. Let me show you what we're going to see. He said there in Isaiah 44, he said to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, to the cities of Judah you shall be built. I'll raise up the decayed places thereof. He's talking about salvation. We were decayed, we were fallen because of sin. We sinned in Adam. How are we going to, and when you sinned, you became the enemy of God. You take a little child who doesn't appear, he doesn't do the things that the old hardened sinner does, that vocally tells you how he hates God, rages against God. The little child doesn't do that. But his heart is enmity against God just the same as the old man is. So how is one of God's children going to be brought into reconciliation with God and friendship with God? How's it going to be? How's that going to happen? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm here preaching the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, here's my gospel. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And you define the world there by what God did. He reconciled everybody he came to reconcile. Now, are all men at friends with God? Are all men at peace with God? No. So that word world doesn't mean everybody. That word world there is used because he just got through saying we don't judge any man after the flesh anymore. It's not Jew anymore, just the Jews anymore. This message is to Jew and Gentile, to God's elect all over the world. So he said God came to reconcile the world unto himself, and he did that. Watch. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Verse 21. Because he hath made Christ sin for us. Wouldn't that have been a good place to use the word imputed since he just used it? We're going to look at that in depth, why he didn't use the word imputed in verse 21. But he said he made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And because we're made the righteousness of God in him, that's why God won't impute sin to us. There's none to impute. God only imputes what's there, what's justly can be imputed. And he doesn't impute sin to his people because Christ put it away. You see, in our redemption from the curse of the law, all things are of God. In making Christ sin for us and making us the righteousness of God in Christ, all things are of God. In reconciling us to himself through the death of Christ, all things are of God. In sending his minister with this ministry, declaring this message to his lost sheep and calling them out and making them to see this truth, all things are of God. In our regeneration, making us new creations, making us a new creation, all things are of God. In making all the old things and all the old confidence that we had pass away and make all things become new, that's all of God. So, this is why every true believer is taught of God in truth, and this is what we confess. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:6. He said, to us, speaking of believers, to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. You see, then everything is of God. Why did he create this world? Because he's going to create you. You who know him, you who are his. Well, why did he create you and protect you and work everything in providence for you? Because he was going to reveal to you that he's done everything to save you. And why has he brought that knowledge to you and taught you that he saved you?
So you'll glory in Him and say, to us there is but one God and Father, from whom are all things. And there's one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. And we're in Him. We're in Him. And that's our message. John answered, and he said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. That means all things. You know, and all these things we're talking about here are given to us through Christ alone. Christ said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Christ is the one going to reveal this to us. And then you think about your graces that you have and your gifts that you have, and somebody will say, well, what about that? Where'd they come from? Well, the Scripture says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What about all the different operations and all the different ways men are serving the Lord, and some do so greatly and some do so lesser, whatever. What about all that? There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. All those are of God. So, since all things in creation and all things in providence and all things in salvation are of God, you know what that means? That means nothing in creation, nothing in providence, and nothing in salvation is of us. Nothing. Well, I built this business and I built this empire. No, you didn't. You wouldn't have done it unless God wanted it to be done. It's of God. You couldn't bat your eye or take your next breath if it wasn't of God. So just quit boasting. Everything is of God. Everything. Turn to Psalm 115. This is what we say right here. This is our message. This is our confidence. This is where we stand right here. Psalm 115. I want to read 15 verses to you right here. And this is the end of the message. Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. They have feet, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, and so is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, that's you who believe. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, because He's their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, that's you who believe. Trust in the Lord. He's their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He's their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Aren't you glad all things are of God? You can lay down under that shade tree and just rest, can't you? Let's stand together. Father, we thank You that all things are of You. Lord, that eases our troubled minds and that eases our worries and gives us full assurance that we can rest in You, trust You, bow to You, and know You're going to do everything You promised for us. Lord, make us do that now. Make us take this word, bless it to our heart. Make us truly trust You. Make us see what you've done, what you are doing, what you shall do. Make us see it's for your glory and for the good of your people. And make us rest in our Lord Jesus. These things we ask in his name. Amen.